So do you ever have half or three words of a Bible verse or two words going through your head? And so you're trying to find out where they are? The two words I had is, three words I had is, what if God? And so I dug and I dug and I dug. How do you find what if God in a concordance? And so I'm starting to read the book of Romans. That's where I am in my devotions, reading through the New Testament again. And turn to verse, keep your finger in chapter 5, because that's going to be our message. But I want to show you something in chapter 9, verse 22. Chapter 9 and verse 22, I've never preached on it. I just was working on Thursday and doing some stuff and Friday morning and getting the what if, what if, what if. I don't know, maybe the NIV don't say what if. They do? Man. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Really? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Now skip down with me to verse number 30, would you? What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. What if? Those are interesting verses. And I was trying to figure out, God, what are you trying to tell me? What if God, wanting to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Now, you may not like what I'm going to tell you. As I read the whole chapter this morning in my devotions, that was my devotional, one of my devotional chapters this morning. That was us. I want you to think about that. By the way, John and Ethel, great to have you here. Bless you. Been friends for years. I'm just a lot older than them, that's all. They were kids when I first met. So basically, as I looked at that, because he kind of clarifies it at the end of the chapter. The Bible tells us that there was a time when we were outcasts, foreigners, aliens, without God and without any hope. So what was our end result of that? It was destruction. It was over. But, and we're going to get there to the buts today. Verse 30 answered the question, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness even the righteousness of faith. You may have been born on what used to be termed the wrong side of the tracks. Anybody know what that means? You may have been born in the poorest of the poor. Your life may be the worst messed up thing, and you'd make some psychologists go nuts if they analyzed you. Well, you would anyway. But you come to a place of faith. You came to a place where you believed God. You came to a place where you not only believed God, you accepted what his word has said about you, And with that going on in your life, there's been a radical change. Do you know why? Because God knew what His plan was. And God carried out His plan. And He opened up His arms and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Shall be saved." You know, as I was going through all this and looking up the word wrath, and with God it was a mindset, I went back. How many remember that there was a time when God repented that He had made man? Anybody ever remember that? There was a time when God said, "Moses, I'm going to make of you a great kingdom and I'm going to wipe these people out." Do you realize that all God would have had to do is let Ishmael and his mom die in the wilderness and be no people to fight for the Jews? What do you think about that? Do you realize that? They were dying. And God led them to a pool. And they drank. You ever scratch your head and say, "God, I just don't understand"? Do you realize that the Bible says in Revelation that the cup of His wrath is full and is going to be poured out eventually? People say, "Well, I don't believe Revelation." You better. You better. So God has personality. If I stopped right now, you should run out of here saying, "Thank God He loves me."
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Thank God He cares. Thank God He wants to work in my life. Thank God I'm forgiven. Thank God I'm not going to hell. Thank God for His mercy, His grace.
Amen.
But you know, we spend a lot of our time complaining. But even in the midst of all the complaints, God is faithful. So what do I want to do? I want to go over, you know, it was Communion Sunday, and when I got through this verse and started understanding a few things about it and started looking at it, I just come to a place of saying, it's time to rehash some stuff. I like real good hash. You know, you cut everything that you couldn't do with something else with, and you throw it together, and you put it on a stove, or wrap it in tinfoil, and put it on the grill. You kind of put elk meat and potatoes and carrots and something we had Friday night. And you just kind of throw it in the grill, and then you eat it all, and then, oh, wow, that was good. So today you're going to get some hash. I'm not regurgitating it. It just hit me, and suddenly we just come to a place of understanding. If you're ever going to surrender, which I believe you are and you have, you have to know who you're surrendering to. You have to understand that that one you're surrendering to loves you. You know, people use people. God loves people. God will minister through you, but that's not using you like in the sense that we think of when somebody uses somebody. Amen? You know what I mean? Even if He never did anything through you because you wouldn't let Him, He still loves you. So thinking about that, what if God, wanting to show His power, was full of wrath, vessels of wrath, how about 5:1, Romans? 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, we hear a lot of talk about grace, and it's amazing. God's grace is amazing. But I want you to understand something before you get to grace, before you get to being justified, before you get to being born again, before you get to the place where God is working in your life, there's a five-letter word that everything is hinged on, and that's faith. Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. It's a connector. Faith is what connects us to God. The Bible says that God has given to everyone a measure of faith in Romans 12:3. So whether or not you're born again or you're not born again, whether you're debating Christ or not, you have faith. And God made sure that every single individual has been implanted with faith, believing faith to accept Him, even when their mind and everybody else says it's not real. How many of you ever doubted? Just two. The rest of you came out of the womb shouting, "Praise you, Jesus." Amen? Come on. And so we come to where it's on faith. Look at me. That's why nothing from God is earned. If you could have earned it, you could have earned it. Wouldn't take anything He did. And so we come to a place of realizing that I'm justified by faith. His grace comes through faith. Everything that God has that I can think of, and you may think of something, everything God wants to bless you with comes by faith. And so God never has told somebody to clean yourself up and then come to me. Huh? That's why your New Year's resolutions don't work. Because if they worked, you think you could live by them. You'd be making Christmas Day resolutions and Thanksgiving resolutions and Halloween resolutions and all the other kind of resolutions. Resolutions don't work. Because you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. The law didn't work because you couldn't keep it. In human sense, in the eyes of God, the law was a failure. All the law was for, Paul says, is set some guidelines so that man would have a clear understanding of what sin was. And so we need to start by faith. And we live by faith. We don't change that. So Paul says, being justified by faith. Now, what does that mean? What does justified mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. It absolutely means to be declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. It's being declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. It's totally based on what Christ has done. Totally. And more and more and more people are coming to that realization that everything God has is a gift. You don't work for it, you don't earn it, you receive it. And so, when we stand before God, it's based on believing and accepting what God has already done. That's kind of simple, isn't it? It's just kind of simple. And not only that, he says, having been justified by faith, we have peace. Say the word peace with me.
Peace.
We have peace. How many of you are sleepy? Tired? Going out on me? Donna, give Curtis an elbow. I saw his head just kind of... What are you laughing at? You were there too. Oh, it's that gift of harassment I was talking about God's given me. Peace is because of our reconciliation with God. Peace actually means tranquility. A state of being in a place of divine favor. It means health, welfare, prosperity, every kind of good. Now look at me, because I'm repenting. Happiness. I've gotten a few arguments because if God didn't make us happy, he made us joyful. I was wrong. I'll never do that again. I mean, repent. It means happiness. It means that God, as you come to him, has nothing against us. He's made peace through the Prince of Peace, and he's given us a mindset. I think somebody said, nothing missing, nothing broken. Is that close? And so we come to a place, well, in everything we do in life, it's blessed, it's healthy, it's happiness. How many have peace? Hello? Don't turn off now. Are you tranquil? Okay. Whoever have peace with God, raise your hand. Okay. Some ain't going to do it. You're not going to do anything. I understand that. But I'm used to it. I pastored here for a long time. I'm used to you looking at me and saying, I'm not going to do that. That's not rebellion. That's just saying I'm not going to do it. How many have peace in your spirit? Thank you, Ethel. Keep that hand up. I'll see one person listening. Bless you. How many have peace of mind? Okay, then how many have a mind? Okay? How about this one? How many have nothing missing and nothing broken in your relationship with others? Where'd the laughing go? Remember last week? We taught you how to deal with that. And so in our life, this peace is not just making things right with God. This peace is about a lifestyle. Jesus was called the Prince of Peace, the Son of Peace. And so when anything is happening in your life, look at me, anything happening in your life, anything going on, you have peace with God, right? That's the first step. You're not going to have peace in this world. People will not have peace in this world until they have peace with God. Amen. Seems like there's a few wars going on. What's missing? God. God. And so then we have peace in our spirits. We have peace in our minds. And they're two different things. And then somebody might not have peace with you, but you don't have to get in all turmoil because they don't have peace with you. You can have peace with them. It's really true. It's amazing, but it's true. We think, well, somebody said something about me, so I have to say something about... No. You can have peace in that situation. Amen. You can walk in peace, perfect peace, regardless. Huh. Bob came in. Bob's been loaning out stuff all week. Bob loaned out his wood splitter. He loaned out his chainsaws. He loaned out his weed eaters. You loan out your garage yet? Maybe. He hasn't loaned them out. Somebody just walked in and borrowed them. But you can have peace in that situation. Come on. I'm very serious about this. You can get the worst news you've ever got, but you can walk through that whole situation. Yeah, grieving and hurting. That's fine, but you still have peace. Yes. It's peace. And so we come to a place where first that peace starts with God. And do you understand a verse? And I've come to some of these verses like, what if? You know, that's a tough one. It's like, is? But anyway, what if? But what about this one? If a man or a woman's ways pleases God, even what? His enemies will be at peace with him. I mean, you go through turmoil. We go through turmoil. I was telling you last week, I went through turmoil with one of my daughters. You've gone through turmoils with some of your children. But that doesn't mean that you have to get all riled up. It just means I'm in peace. It's kind of interesting. When the Bible looks at us and Jesus said, my peace I have given to you, my peace I leave with you. What's the next part of that verse? Therefore, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't what? Let your hearts be troubled or don't be afraid. There's peace. There's peace. I love it. Do I apply it all the time? No, that's why I'm preaching it. If I was doing it, I wouldn't have to tell you what a lousy guy I was. But step by step by step in the maturity process, we allow it to happen. It's amazing. It just comes step by step. Have I ever panicked? Yeah, you just didn't know it. Do you think you could work with Kirk without panicking? Oh, I'm sorry. But you see, we are used to doing things and reacting to things because that's the way we've always done it. We've always done it that way. And so what happens? Satan knows what buttons to push with your children, with your friends, on the job, with whoever. And he pushes a button And we give him a response because we've always responded that way. We've always gone through it that way. We've always done it that way. It's time to change. Yeah. Satan, you do this, I'm going to do this. For every time Satan wants to drive you up a wall, you lead somebody to Christ. The more you're leading to Christ, the less he'll pester you. I made a deal with Satan. You say, oh, don't panic. Every time you do something to me or my family, I'm going to go lead someone to the Lord. I'm going to go pray for someone who's sick. I'm going to see God touch them. I'm going to see God change your life. You don't leave me alone, I'm attacking your kingdom. I'm not just sitting back and taking this, well, I can't use that word, garbage. It's over. And there comes a time in your life when you draw a line in the sand or the red line and you keep it. You don't allow the devil to bring turmoil. You don't allow the devil to attack. You don't allow the devil to do all these things. Because what he's wanting to do, we're going to do the opposite. We're not going to agree with him. I'm going to walk in peace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's time. I know it's time I should be done, but I'm not. I like this too. In whom through faith? What happened to my verse? Look at that. Stole my verse. Is it back? Look at this. Where's my little thing? By whom also we have access faith into this grace. By faith we have access into this grace. Faith gets us to grace. You don't have justification without faith, and you don't have grace without faith. But what is grace? Grace is God's favor without expectation of anything in return. I want to tell you that. Grace is actually defined as God's favor without God expecting anything in return. It's absolutely an expression of loving kindness from God to men, finding its only motive is that God loves you. The only motive for God's grace to you is that he loves you. Grace is God loving you without any expectation of you giving something back to him. I like this definition too, and I heard another preacher preach it. He says, grace is a God's empowering presence that enables you to be what he's called you to be and to do or accomplish what he's called you to do. Grace. God's grace is what strengthens you when you're going through a hard time. God's grace is what encourages you when the devil wants to make you down or things happen to bring you down. Grace is God lifting you up and planting your feet and letting you know that he's walking through it with you. It's God's grace that brings us to salvation. The grace message is so amazing. It's so amazing. It's that grace that gives you hope. Hope of the glory of God. What is hope? In terms that we live, it's wishful thinking. That's not anything to do with the Bible. Hope is a desire for something good and the expectation that it's going to happen. Hope is a desire for good with the expectation that it's going to happen. Look at me. When things seemingly are falling apart. Hope is that everything is going to be held together. Everything is going to go back to what it should be. And I'm expecting it to happen. In the midst of the crisis, I'm expecting good to come through it. You know what happens to people when they lose hope? They lose the will to live. Some of you have been beat up so much. Where's my picture on the horse? You don't know if you're on foot or horseback. You've gone through so much. You've been up and down like a yo-yo. There's been things going on in your life, and every time you take a step forward, it seems like somebody slams you. Hope says, I'm making it through. Hope is the expectation that good is going to come out. Look at me. And hope tells you that you're okay. Faith is the substance of what? Hope for. Faith is the substance of things wished for. Faith is the substance of things expected. Hello. It's expecting. I'm going to tell you something. Some people start thinking and expecting the things that aren't true. They're not right. They're not healthy. They're not good. They don't build you up. They tear you down. You're looking over your shoulder to see what's coming next. That's not hope. Hope is for the glory of God. Hope for the glory of God. Look at me. I'm done. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Freedom.
There's freedom. And we are being transformed from what? Glory to glory to glory, unending glory. God is taking your life through being justified, through having peace, through having grace, through having hope, and he's believing as he implants in you that there's a desire to go from glory to glory to glory because you're free. There's no bondage. There's perfect freedom and liberty, and God is raising you up, and you are being moved from glory to glory to glory. Yes, it may take some hardships. Sometimes we have to go through. That glory doesn't take them, but sometimes we go through them, excuse me. But there's a transformation, a metamorphosis going on. That's taking you spiritually from glory to glory to glory. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not being run over. You're going over. You're not being destroyed. You're being built up. The effects that the enemy is having in your life is minimal. They have no place. And you are strong enough, and you, God's got faith in you, and we've got faith in you, that you're not looking over your shoulder, you're looking ahead, you're climbing, you're growing, you're maturing. And look out, world, you're coming. You're going to have a magnificent ending. You say, what an ending. An ending of calamity, an ending of crisis, an ending of things falling apart, an ending of things being borrowed, an ending of all this stuff. It's going to end in the name of Jesus. And Jesus Christ is going to be glorified and honored, and people are going to realize that you've been with Jesus just like the disciples. It's not over. It's the beginning of a growth process that's taking you where God wants you to be. And I believe it. And I want to tell you something. God's implanted a deeper faith in me for you than I've ever had. It's amazing. God's increased his trust in us together. It's amazing. You may say, but I don't feel like it. What's feelings got to do with it? There are days you don't feel like a human being, but do you ever look in the mirror? You're still you. And so, yeah, you're a human and you have emotions. It doesn't mean you're at the top of the chain every day. It doesn't mean that everything is perfect every day. It doesn't mean you got up this morning singing the old song, I woke up this morning feeling fine, I woke up with heaven on my mind. I do that once in a while, but I want to go. I don't want to stay. But God has placed you here for a time like this and a season like this, and you're going over, not under. You're going to make it. And don't ever forget it, because his grace is going to see you through. You stand right with God, and you're standing right in this world, and God is amazed from where you came to where you are. Amen?
Yeah.
Say with me, I'm okay. God's okay.
I'm right where I should be,
but I'm not staying here.
I'm going higher
with the Lord and in his glory. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Give the Lord a hand.